interesting and crucially important to Stu Peters' show today. You're not going to want to miss one second of it. I believe that we're going to be going live to Jerusalem here. That's pretty amazing. On the program today, also, we're going to talk about the guy who predicted everything that we are seeing today. That should be a really interesting conversation. And then we're going to talk to Mario Balaban from Project Veritas, as now it's being dropped, these algorithms being used by Facebook to silence anyone that's hesitant about the so-called vaccine. Another James O'Keefe bombshell dropped by Project Veritas exposed the social media giant yesterday. And now these Silicon Valley oligarchs, these champions for communism, have nowhere to run and hide. It's right out there in the wide open for everyone to see. Yet the media is silent about it. As the true platforms of truth continue to be shadow banned, deleted, canceled. You're questioning whether or not you want to take a jab that thousands of frontline doctors, Dr. Tenpenny, Dr. Simone Gold, Dr. Jane Ruby, thousands of them are bravely and heroically risking it all to come forward and warn us about while they're being labeled crazy. And so your questions are immediately attacked as you're put on the defensive at home, at work, in public. This isn't by accident. There's no such thing as accidents. This is intentional. This goes right along with the red flag laws, Baker acting individuals, involuntarily drugging them, confining them, sentencing them to jail time, the corrupted judiciary and law enforcement that have been weaponized and deployed to take care of you. If you question or stand in the way of these globalists planning to kill you and rape your kids before drinking their blood, they're satanic, they're demonic, and I am not here to mince words. We don't have time for that nonsense. We can't play these patty cake, piddly little kitty games anymore. We are out of time. The questions around the election, they're warranted. And I'm glad to have had the opportunity to talk with Maria Zach about all of that, but the real takeaway here is that it's just another rabbit hole being intentionally transformed into a distraction. What do I mean by that? Well, yes, there is evidence all over the place. The audits are absolutely unequivocally necessary. And the truth surrounding November 4th, 2020 will be revealed. All lies will be revealed. We've heard what's been said. It's going to be biblical. And the best is yet to come. Don't turn your back on that mantra because it's absolutely the gospel. It's the truth. But the election is the smallest piece of the puzzle that we really need to put together. Imagine that. I can't believe that I'm saying that right now. But listen, it's because we know the truth. And Red Pill Patriots are awake to what really happened there. It's not even really the who anymore that we need to be asking about, because we know it was a concerted global effort to flip an entire political system upside down. And the plan to do that has been in place for far longer than any of us have ever realized until recently. Families are being ripped apart. You guys, seriously. It's so painful to watch and listen to the testimony, the personal words of friends that I have come to know through this platform. People losing their kids over a mask outdoors. And these are just the headlines. These are the horrific stories that we hear and then re-air on the Stu Peters Show, formerly Patriotically Correct, but we don't ever really talk about the why. Because it's not convenient for time when the information superhighway flows so quickly, so fast, and people are just demanding immediate, instant gratification and answers. We scratch the surface with interviews. We respect the limited amount of time that we have with the people that we have here, the experts and the politicians, to try to catch the attention of the mainstream audience so that hopefully they will begin to rid their minds of the poison that they're being fed by this corrupted, compromised, bought and paid for communist propaganda arm, the enemy of the people known as the media. I was watching last night Laura Ingraham. She had a whole segment, I believe she calls it The Angle, where she opens her show, and the title of it was Trump Was Right. And she had a variety of all kinds of different instances and where President Donald J. Trump laid out what was happening, why it was going to happen, how it was going to end if it wasn't stopped, and all of it has come to fruition. And one of the things that he said, and I don't believe that Laura Ingraham hit on this, but I will. He said that the media is the enemy of the people. That was a bold and shocking statement that people, they thought that was really shocking. But it wasn't for hyperbole and it wasn't for shock. It was the truth, but nobody's used to hearing the truth. There is nothing more dangerous than these people. And the underrated value of truth has gone ignored because people are afraid of being labeled. Being labeled anything that's not socially acceptable. As we look in the mirror and try to decide if the battle is even worth it every single day, because it's literally, you confront it at every turn, everywhere you go. These evil people have literally infiltrated every single aspect of our lives, from the woke workplace all the way to the military, and everything and everywhere in between. I mean, imagine a home-invading, violent, career criminal that held a gun to the abdomen of a pregnant woman and threatened to blow her unborn child out of her back is being celebrated as a hero and a martyr while Black Lives Matter flags are flown at United States embassies, government buildings, by the order of the very people claiming to have been fairly elected by a body of people that overwhelmingly object to the radical lies about systemic racism, while those same authoritarians grab desperately for your guns and stomp all over your liberty. That's really where we are. And still, as frustrating as that is, we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of the real mission that these people are on, with a goal of complete destruction, total annihilation, and complete control, compliance through fear, to gain absolute subservience from a once free people so that they will more easily give up their kids. This is about our kids, and there is no denying that. If you don't believe me, that's fine. You don't have to. Maybe if you don't believe me, you could just ask yourself quietly in a corner so that you're not labeled crazy, conspiracy theorist, tinfoil hat-wearing, Trump boot-licking, radical Republican. I don't know, whatever the label is that you're trying to avoid, racist. That's a big one. Maybe you could just ask yourself quietly in a hidden corner somewhere why nobody might be reporting on the fact that, say, Jeffrey Epstein, who did not kill himself and plausibly is not even dead, has several properties being transferred into the control of very interesting corporations with attachment to really convenient places associated with autistic children. I can't do all of the research for you because I'm just one man. I don't have all of the answers. I just have questions. I'm no different than you, and I want them answered. But where do you turn for honesty when you want to know why it would appear that the bankrupt corporation of the United States of America has an interest in one of these properties, the New Mexico property, with a registered agent called Love and Bliss, Inc., and who has a registered address of 5575 South Samoran Boulevard, Suite 36, Orlando, Florida. And why, when you take it just a step further and cross-reference that address using public information portals, you'll find that the address belongs to Bright Autism, an organization for kids with that diagnosis. Why does Jeffrey Epstein have anything to do with autistic kids? What would anyone associated with the United States Corporation Agents, Inc., or Jeffrey Epstein have interest in or have anything to do with children with autism? I don't know. I don't know. I'm just a guy here. I'm just a guy that had a career investigating criminals, playing a mind game of chess, interviewing people, trying to get truthful answers out of people that didn't even know that they would ultimately end up giving me truthful answers so that I could then in turn locate some of the most violent, most wanted fugitives that did not want to be caught and then put myself in the same place with those people at the very same time so that myself, along with the help of my extremely talented team, could take them into custody. It was a fun career, and I found it very interesting. It wasn't really about kicking the doors. I'm not going to lie to you. That part of the job was a lot of fun. But that's not what I really enjoyed. The satisfaction really came from gaining truth out of people that absolutely didn't want the truth exposed. It was the investigation that really thrilled me. But I'm a father, and that career, for me, was far more dangerous than flying bullets. Just to be vulnerable with you, I got sucked into a lot of other things in my life. I got sucked into too many beers while I was trying to process some of the horrific things that I would see and deal with on a daily basis. Well, really, nobody was there for me to talk with about it and to process what I had seen. And that's fine. I accept that. That burden is not for you to bear. I'm no hero. Believe me, I have walked alongside a few. And you have no idea what these people are dealing with. As I get distracted here, but I would encourage you, while I'm on this topic, to look at military veterans and those currently serving and our police officers through a completely different lens than what you probably already do, because you can never really have any idea what they're dealing with and the things that they have to process internally. But I digress. It wasn't good for me. So I walked away from that career and gave up drinking because God told me if I didn't do it, I was going to lose my family, I was going to lose my kids, and probably my life. So anyway, now here I am, the people's investigator. Still investigating, but now focused on a different class of criminal. And I'm looking for answers. I can find answers all day long. I have an extremely interesting Rolodex of qualified experts and deeply connected individuals with a wealth of knowledge that just amazes me. I mean, it keeps me up at night to think about some of the things that I learn, some of the things that I hear every day. And we can bring it here. We can show obvious correlations, display cute little pictures using this production platform on screens and show people all kinds of coincidences, right? I mean, do you believe in coincidences? Do you believe that all of these things are just happening by mistake? There's no such thing, folks, as a coincidence. There is no such thing as an accident or mistake in God's plan to shine a light on darkness, and that is the plan here. But the big question is what to do with them as we find them. Will anything really convince these people? What will it take to wake you up, to wake them up? What will it take for people to really open their eyes? I can sit up here with medical experts and give real information about kids literally dying. The grim outlook surrounding these injections, for example, the plan for depopulation, and so obviously state factual numbers that prove the world economy was completely shut down while people ran for their lives to escape a virus with a recovery rate of almost 100%. I mean, that's crazy. And anyone who questions it is labeled crazy and then deplatformed, canceled. Why? Don't these people want an answer to that? Why aren't you allowed to question the virus or the so-called vaccine? The Matrix was a great movie. And in particular, the scene that I will never forget is that one scene where ignorance was described as being bliss. Ignorance is bliss. I know this steak is fake, but I love it. I love the way it tastes, and I don't care that it's fake. Knowing the truth is painful, and predicting it accurately is even more painful. Because we know what's coming, and it seems like we can't stop it. We're going to talk to Cyrus Parsa, who is on hold here. He predicted all of this, says that there's a way to stop it all as well, and we'll try to get through that in just a minute. But want to first take the time to remind you about the title sponsor here, the Stu Peters Show, Cortez Wealth Management. Carlos Cortez, a great friend of mine. He is a patriot, an America First patriot. He's a father, he's a husband, he's a family man who deeply cares about our republic, and he's an independent fiduciary. What does that mean for you? That means that he cannot be controlled or manipulated by Wall Street, whose policies and investments are dictated by the Biden regime, who is bought and paid for by the CCP, by China. He's owned by China. In other words, if you are doing business with an advisor from one of these household name banks, conglomerates, franchises, you are doing business with a pro-Biden advisor, despite their politics, because those are the only programs that they are able to sell you. An independent fiduciary only does well when you do well, and Carlos Cortez can keep all of your investments right here in the United States as he independently works with your situation to build a retirement plan for you. He's the home of the America First Retirement Plan, and he understands that you are spending your time trying to leave something for your kids, build a future for yourself in what little time that we have here on Earth and the natural. Give him a call anytime at 813-448-3446 or visit him online 24 hours worldwide at CortezWM.com. Again, that's CortezWM.com. Well, as the globalists and lying media are desperately backtracking, trying to stay relevant, covering up for almost every single thing that we are uncovering, they've been caught in yet another lie and a blatant cover-up surrounding the origins of the world-ending plague with a recovery rate of 99.98%. As now it seems completely apparent that the bioweapon was manufactured and leaked from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, a lab funded in part by Anthony Fauci. Cyrus Parsa predicted all of it. In 2019, Cyrus was labeled crazy, I'm sure, when he predicted the Wuhan China flu outbreak and almost everything that we're experiencing today, including the Great Reset, big tech tyranny. In fact, he was providing intel about the Wuhan lab before everything hit. He's authored two books of recent, The Great Reset and Artificial Intelligence, Dangers to Humanity. He's the founder and CEO of the AI organization, and Parsa joins us now. Cyrus, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate hearing from you.
Thank you, Stu, for having me on. Hello to your audience.
So you've researched, you've investigated more than 1,000 AI, robotics, 5G, cybernetic and big tech companies. Your education is in international security. However, you have a master's degree in homeland security. You've lived in the mountains of China with the fighting monks. You predicted all of it. Did anybody want to listen?
Yes. So initially, I gave it to some channels in a different way that went up close to Trump. But unfortunately, he had too many, I think, deep state actors around him. So they kind of took the intel instead of talking to me. Then I provide similar intel, very concise, that within 6 months to a year, the whole world is going to be enslaved and it'll usher in AI. And there's Secret Service, but they thought maybe I was a little crazy. So then the CIA director, the former director of CIA Covert Ops, which is probably the second most powerful person on the planet when he was with the presidents. I gave him a 62-page report, but the way his brain can take it. So companies, CEOs, what's happening here in China, bioweapons, AI, and I said it's an immediate threat to the entire world. I didn't go full, said they're going to release it right now, but that's what I said. And he flew out to see me and he took it to the military. So then I published AI Trump. And I was trying to hint at the beginning. I said the world's in danger by China and big tech with MBTs, which is a poison microbiota terrorism. It's another term for a bioweapon. And then finally, I published Artificial Intelligence to Humanity, and it got delivered to Trump, his generals. But I coded some language, and I was hoping to talk to him soon. But they were being hunted by Pelosi and Obama, all these different things. And they start looking at all the companies I put with Huawei and TikTok and so many different things. And next thing you know, all those companies are getting banned. They're doing a good job. But it was already too late in a sense, because they were dealing with all this incoming. If you're running a country, how can you defend against a biological attack when half the nation is mobilized to attack you on social media? And even characters within the intelligence community, instead of looking at China, they're looking at the president of the United States, trying to take him down. So in a sense, it was very, very difficult. But because you have to not just get the president involved, you have to get liberals and conservatives all looking at one thing in order to stop what's going to happen. So I had intel that they were building this, and they were using humans and animals in experimentation, and they wanted to release it in a confined way, and to shift the tide and take out the Trump administration. And I put that in my book. So I put that in more clearly in my Secret Service report that this will happen. And then I sat down with a Trump contact. Maybe he thought I was crazy. I said, it will come and hit Trump and all the people around him, and they won't realize it. But one after another, they'll fall down, or they'll get sick, and then it'll shift the tide. And then the big tech and with the liberal left will take over as China takes over everyone. So I've said it 100 different ways and 1,000 different ways. I think a lot of people thought I was crazy, because how can you know this? And I had intel on the ground. I developed a certain quantum technology that we assess things with that outmatches our CIA in our Pentagon, because the CIA director flew to see me. So he was amazed at how I knew all these things. But still, it wasn't enough. I think if President Trump wasn't being attacked 24/7, this wouldn't have happened. If it happened, it would have happened in a more confined way, and the lockdowns wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't be where we are today.
Do you think that China knew that this was going to happen? I mean, do you think that China knew that they were participating in the ultimate goal to sabotage a presidency in an effort to achieve the ultimate goal, which is complete world subservience for every supposedly free being globally?
The Chinese regime, that was their plan. That was my intel. And that's what I gave both sides of the aisle, in fact, liberals and conservative elites. So, but it's hard for them to believe that, you know, the Mongolians did this. They would practice biological warfare. So when they would invade, for instance, Persia, they'd kill off 90% of the people. Then they would get to Rome, they'd kill off 9% of the people, and it would subjugate the people. The clans and tribes they couldn't subjugate, they would bring plague to their cattle in different places, and then they'd get sick, and then they'd get them fighting each other in a civil war, then they'd rape and kill them. So if the Mongolians did this, why wouldn't the communist regime that puts people in the camps and kills them for genocide, like the Falun Dafa, the Christians, the Tibetans, and the Uyghurs? So it's hard for people to think that someone would do this in the 21st century, but they're worse than the Nazis and the Stalinists, 100 times worse.
What do you think is the ultimate goal?
World domination with artificial intelligence. That's why I wrote in the past couple of books. This is an easier one if you want to get a book, Great Reset. I turn it differently, how the big tech elites and the world's people can be enslaved by China's CCP or AI. What they want to do is very simple. They want to connect the BRI, the One Belt, One Road, which is the old Silk Road. So from the Far East to the Middle East, which is Iran and so on, and then to Africa and Europe. And they wanted to do it to America, but because of Trump, it's not going to happen anymore. And once they connect the Silk Road, they build the infrastructure, and then they connect 5G and 6G towers. Once they do that, they pave a road. Afterwards, they have the satellites in the sky, like Starlink. Then they connect that to the satellites. So they have complete surveillance of the populace. But then with the surveillance, they can mobilize social media companies to censor people. Then when censorship comes in, then robots come in. Machines, and then drones. and then cybernetic soldiers, and then their military might and financial incentives, like using Bitcoin or different cryptocurrencies to take money away or to control an industry.
Okay, so we're seeing the weakening of a military. You know, it's becoming woke. It's, you know, a lot of transgenders. I mean, the United States military is sending pregnant women into military aircraft over hostile territory on fighter pilot missions. We're seeing the demasculinization of an entire society by promoting this transgender type thing. We're weakening and indoctrinating our children here. It's methodical. We can see it. It's happening right before us. So is that so that we can ultimately say, look, the military is too weak. We can't control what this, what these means anymore. We now have to, we have developed this great way to protect you. Here's what it is. I mean, isn't that kind of what they're doing? Look at the great service you're getting on your phone with this 5 and 6G, right? I mean, isn't there always a way to convince easily influenced young and impressionable, specifically minds and ears, into believing that these are the people that are preaching from a soapbox of love and humanity, but actually they wish to kill you and then rape your kids?
Yes. So that's how the Chinese do it the long-term way. What they want to do is capitalize. So they see liberals care about race, genders, sexual orientation, and now transgenderism, right? And they see the conservatives, they've been in power in terms of protecting the world for 50, 60, 70 years since World War II, World War I. And they see that their platform is God, country, and what the last stance that they have is the military. So what they can do is go into the military and see, oh, this person is extremist, or that person it doesn't coincide with our beliefs of what we want to focus on, race, things that are emotional, things that you hurt your feelings, right? So what the Chinese government does is they use soft power and social engineering by connecting to our big tech and our liberal elites, by sending their nice people who are kind and then do business deals with them, to basically alter and support the liberal agenda against the conservatives with a long-term plan, knowing that these conservatives that maybe are opposed to a liberal agenda, once they get out of the picture, the liberals who get in and the people they put in, like you say, as their vocal, whatever, their focus and their skill is oriented with their beliefs of gender, sex, and sexual orientation and so on. But the skills of the conservatives going back from training experience 60 years, 70 years from one general, one admiral, so on, this wasn't in their brain chemistry. So once these people get taken out, the Chinese government can completely take over the left, because, you know, I consider like the liberals versus conservatives like this, husband and wife. So if the husband is maybe a little bit tough and beat someone up, and then the wife is like the battered wife that gets all crazy and wants to do stuff, that girl is not going to be able to defend against the Chinese regime. So in the long term, they take out the conservatives one after another. And what's left is, like you say, the woke people that care about these soft things that have to do with emotions, but they missed a big picture. It's like, I'm talking about, hey, I go to liberals and I say the bioweapon coming, the whole world will be locked down. And they said to me, PR Newswire, your books are slanders to big tech and China. It could be race. I'm like, wasn't there anything about race in there? So that's the issue. So they focus on these things. So when you take the skills out of the military, that's the last straw. Because what they did was take out the skills of people in social media and in television. So put only people that care about sexual orientation, race, and gender, right? For the main part, those are the people who have the power. Once you go in the military, you take that out, you have no defense against the Chinese regime.
And anybody who questions it is crazy or tinfoil hat wearing, conspiracy theorist, radical Republican, far right, Trump bootlicker, racist, misogynistic, any of that. That's what they label you so that you will just then be silent. Like, whoa, I don't want to be any of those things, of course. So, you know, even though you are not, the perception and the social score, credit score per se, that you will get, which now we're seeing, the social credit score isn't just a theory, but Facebook is actually using this. They're using credit scores in the way of, you know, vaccine hesitance now. They're suppressing and silencing people, removing them, shadow banning them, completely deleting their existence from the social media world. If they should even question why, for example, United Airlines is willing to give you a free flight for a year if you go get the jab, or why $1 million is being handed out, or free cookies or coffee or all of these things. You have to be persuaded into going to take this thing that is supposed to save you from what is the most deadly flu, but yet 99.98% people are recovering from. It's ridiculous because it's right out in front of us. But the propaganda that is devised, that is orchestrated by the Chinese, these people, nobody knows propaganda better than the Chinese. So the question that is in here, do you think that the liberals, and we'll just name them, let's just pick some of the most radical people, for example, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi. Do you think these people, people like... you know, George Gascon and Governor Gavin Newsom in California specifically, these people, are they part of the plan on board with China, or are they also being duped and they're just being used as pawns?
I think they've been duped and been used as pawns for the most part. Joe Biden's been a politician for 47 years. I personally think he doesn't believe in most of these things, but he wants to be politician and be in power. So that's my view on him. But let me ask you and your audience this question. If there's a fire in your house, or let's say a bunch of people come in to rape your wife and kids and kill you, if you call a cop and they come to your house to save you, do you like say, well, I don't want them to come and save me because I want to make sure they're not racist, or I want to make sure they've had a jab or a vaccine?
Not. Yeah, of course not.
Well, if you did... So why would you want to take out people that are in police or military who maybe don't think the way they do? Maybe they don't have. So you look at people, you say, okay, all his friends are white. Oh, he's racist. Well, no, that's just his programming. That's he may not have empathy. But then you look at the black side, all his friends are black. And you look at the Iranian side, I don't have too many Iranian friends, but most of them are clingy. They have only Iranian people they're friends with. So it has to do with language. It has to do with programming in the brain. It doesn't mean you're a racist. It's programming. It's comfortness with a certain thing you came up with. But America is the least racist country. So I live in Iran. They can be very racist. I live in China. They're the most racist people I've ever met on the planet, the Chinese. Especially Chinese regime. They're racist against the whites. They call them pigs behind the scenes. They call blacks apes. They call Middle Easterns Jews and Arabs rodents. They call Indians the color of poo. They do this. And this is not a joke. I heard this in China. And I have my people who are in the intel in the military in China said the generals say this about the white people and the black people. So if they really care about race, why not focus on the Chinese regime and call them for the... They're racist. They really are. How many black people were thrown out of their homes when COVID hit? Go out to the streets, right? Think about that. So if you want to concentrate on race, concentrate on Chinese regime. So I sent to the BLM founders, I sent an article and a video I wrote called Black Comedians Saved, Slaved by China, CCP, and AI. And as soon as I sent that, literally within 48 hours, my Twitter feed got less in terms of getting as many play than my documentary called CCP Virusgate, documenting a year and a half of us how we were telling the world that this bioweapon had hit, putting all our evidence up there. It was up for 8 months. It got deleted on medical misinformation. And I had my legal team look at it, nothing. But at the end, we actually said in the end, liberals and big tech and Google people should be protected. We said this in October 2020, and they knew. Eric Schmidt of Google, he watched that. As soon as he watched it, within 24 hours, he says we have to counter China and AI. And now he's in the White House telling he wants to advise President Biden against China and the whole AI initiative. So he's looking at my stuff. It's plagiarism, copyism, in a sense. So I'm going to have to address that soon. But I try to support both sides because I think the conservatives have an issue with showing empathy about race. But I think Trump doesn't want to show empathy because if he does, then the liberals will, on the elite side, they'll use it for politics and they'll try to capture him and be like, oh, da-da-da-da-da-da. Because when you give someone who's weaponizing race more avenue to talk about it, then they use that against you and attack you. They make up all kinds of stuff. Look at how many things they said about President Trump. How many things they said about him that were untrue? And even about the bioweapon, they said he was crazy, right? He said it. I said it before him. I sent it up to him before that. So why is it that you say something is untrue that and you say he's crazy, and 6 months later, and Fauci is like, oh, yeah, maybe it did. Here's a reason. I'll tell you why on the liberal elite they didn't want to say it is. It's because I put out in my lawsuit on February 2020, on the amendment when I put Obama and Biden, I said that this was paid by the U.S. government, overseen by Obama and his people. Well, who was under Obama? It was Fauci. So when you say these things and you put it out there, and they'll look at it like, oh, yeah, if it's from this lab, we funded the work.
Yeah, we screwed up.
Cyrus is right. Huh?
Yeah, we screwed up, but we knew it. And we knew it was going to happen, and we did it anyways, because we are the elite. We care only about enriching ourselves, gaining more power, more compliance, more subservience, and all we care about is our lives. That's what, at the end of the day, what that is. They're willing to sell themselves out, sell their entire souls. Biden is owned by China, and he doesn't care because he gets what he was promised, which is a platform of the presidency. He was promised by Obama, who is effectively right now in his third term. I know that we're pressed for time, but I have two more questions that I got to ask you, since you rightly predicted everything else. Trump was just a guy who got in the way, right? I mean, this was going to be done. This was part of the plan. So then they had to immediately concoct, you know, the election theft and things like that. I mean, so we knew that that was coming. Trump told us it was coming. We all knew, we were warned that this was going to happen. But Trump is just a guy that got in the way of a plan, right?
In a subconscious way, it wasn't that everyone was scheming. So a lot of people will claim that this person or that person was planning the bioweapon release. No, the Western Americans.
No, I don't mean the bio release. I just mean the entire takeover, the world domination that we're talking about. Trump is just a guy that got in the way because he started to open the eyes of people, correct?
Yes, but here's the thing. A lot of the reaction you see from the left on the ground, grassroots, they're not seeing a global takeover. They're just, oh, race, oh, genders, Trump is this, right? That's the grassroots. Then you have the big tech tycoons who are using that. Some of them just hate Trump. Some of them subconsciously want to have this great reset that I talk about in here. And they know he's opposed to the tyrannical way of what they want to do, right? They want to have digital currency and get rid of the gold, all kind of different things, right? But yes, on terms of the politician side, those politicians, in terms of Hillary and some other people and Obama, they hated Trump. And when Trump called them out, they want to take him out. And then you have the contractors. So here's the thing. Everything that comes out of the media mouth for the past 40, 50 years, they come from experts who are prior CIA or intelligence agencies. The people that have been ruling the world have not been presidents. I've sat down with the highest people in the world. And what they tell me behind the scenes is, Cyrus, they're politicians. Meaning what Biden says is doesn't come from Biden. The plan comes from intel agencies and contractors that are interconnected to many, many countries. They have each other's cell phones. They talk with each other. And if they're not talking, they have hive mind characteristics, meaning they all will band together to take out Trump. So Trump wanted to end the trade with China. Why? He saw him as a threat, but he can't say China's a threat. Because then he couldn't be able to dupe him in terms of the trade. So what he did was try to get the money back first, then take him out, weaken him. Then he has a strong military. Then he can take on China in terms of using, hey, you can't mess with us anymore, buddy, and you're doing genocide.
Yeah,
that was the plan.
I gotta get to break, but I gotta ask you this: yes. Can any of this be stopped?
Yes.
How?
That's a long discussion, but we need to, in terms of if you're a conservative, we need to improve ourselves, be more righteous, not be afraid, and be more active, but not hate the liberals, and vice versa, because it has to do with education. Really, both sides need to be educated, but make a move. I sit down with even conservatives here in San Diego, other places, and they have a lot of money or they have a lot of pull, but they're afraid to show their faces.
Cyrus, I'm gonna get back with you, and will you come back next week and we'll have this discussion about how to stop it? Because I think that's the most important thing that we need to address.
Yes. Are we done or are we doing a break?
Well, right now? I got to get to break and I got to go live to Jerusalem. I got this guy on hold right now. But would you come back next week and talk with us about how to stop this? I mean, that's what people really want to know.
Sure. We'll follow up next week. Not a problem.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much. You can follow me on Twitter or whatever you like. Cyrus A. Parcel One. The website's theaiorganization.com. Thanks for having me on your show, I'll see you next week.
Get his book, The Great Reset. We'll put everything at stupeters.tv. Cyrus Parcel, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Cyrus Parsa, all the way from China. Wow, we're going around the world today. As on hold as David Sussman, who's on the ground in Israel, live from Tel Aviv, where he's on vacation with his family, celebrating his twins' birthday. But he has agreed to give us some accurate reporting to counter the anti-Semitic reporting that you're seeing from the mainstream media, the enemy of the people, the propaganda machine here in the United States. We'll go live to David Sussman after I remind you to go live on the internet and visit CortezWM.com. Give Carlos Cortez at Cortez Wealth Management an opportunity to earn your business by giving him a call and discussing with him your financial future. If you don't start planning it right now, the minute that your retirement is upon you, you will soon realize, oh my goodness, I cannot retire. And that's a horrible place to be, because then you need to spend every dime that you've saved just to live. You'll have nothing to leave your kids, your grandkids, and so on and so forth. No matter how much money you have, little or big amounts of money, call Carlos Cortez and talk to him about how to set yourself up. He's the home of the America First Retirement Plan. He's not a pro-Biden advisor like the advisor that you're working with now, to no fault of their own, but they are working for a controlled and manipulated franchise conglomerate or big bank that's responding to Wall Street. Wall Street is responding to the Biden administration, who is owned by the Chinese Communist Party. Don't do business with a pro-Biden communist advisor. Do business with an independent fiduciary, a God-fearing Christian, an America First patriot called Carlos Cortez. Go to Cortez Wealth Management online. Visit him 24 hours worldwide at CortezWM.com. Call him in the office anytime at 813-448-3446. That's Cortez Wealth Management. Management online at CortezWM.com. Well, as we all know, Secretary Blinken is on the ground in Israel, and so is the Stu Peters Show. We are joined now by David Sussman of DavidSussmanIsraelTours.com. You can look him up if you're planning to travel to the Holy Land. Get up with this guy, originally from Boston, but has lived in Israel for 20 years. It is 8 something p.m. You're eight hours ahead of us over there, here in Central Time, 7 hours ahead, of course, of Eastern. And we appreciate you. It looks like you're in Tel Aviv on the beach having a wonderful time. Right now, you're able to enjoy a celebration. However, there are tensions that are happening in Israel. We know here in the United States, at least Red Pill patriots are very aware, thanks to the Great Awakening, open eyes here, that the media here in the United States is a big propaganda machine. And so we are being spoon-fed a particular narrative of why there's a conflict in Israel, Palestinians fighting there, and where the aid is coming from, why or if we are assisting Israel. And the narrative here has been that it's time for us to turn our backs on Israel. Can you paint for us a clear picture of exactly what it is that's going on there and what you see from an Israeli perspective as to the political spin that's being put on it and actually what the truth might be?
Well, first of all, Mr. Peters, let me just say thank you for all your effort in spreading the truth about what's happening here in Israel. I know you have a far reach in North America, but we know of your efforts here in Israel, and we appreciate it. So on behalf of all of us here in Israel, we just want to say thank you. A big heartfelt thank you to you and all of your viewers as well. We appreciate the support.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So as you can see behind me, I'm on the beaches of Tel Aviv here. I do not live in Tel Aviv. I did live here actually for the first 6 years of the 20 years I've been living here in Israel. I live in between Jerusalem and Hebron, two of our main holy cities. I live in a resettlement. A lot of people like to call them settlements, but I live in a resettlement, I like to call it, if you need to use that term. Because really what I did 20 years ago was I just returned to my ancestral homeland. I returned to the land of my ancestors and my great-great-grandparents, however many greats ago. And the fact of the matter is, because of the utter destruction of Jewish communities throughout Europe, throughout the Middle East, in Africa as well, a lot of people don't realize that we have Jewish communities in Africa and Ethiopia and Tanzania as well. And these Jews have returned home. And all around this anti-Semitism, which we see rearing its ugly head now in a major way. You can see it on the news throughout North America. I mean, it's really crazy. I have friends calling me, telling me that they're afraid to wear their kippah and their Magen David, their Star of David in the streets of New York and LA and Chicago. I mean, it's unbelievable. And probably in Toronto as well. We know that in 2002, 2003, in Concordia and the major universities in Canada, that it was unsafe to express your Jewishness. So I like to call it a resettlement. We don't know, because of that destruction, we don't know when our families left Israel. It might have been because of the Romans or the Crusaders or the early Arab period or the Turks. And throughout all of that time, we need to understand, all of you need to have that in your back pocket, that there was never a Palestinian state here in the land of Israel, not a state, not a kingdom, it never existed. It's always been ruled by foreign empires. And this is so crucial to understand, is that the land of Israel, since its destruction during the Second Temple period by the Romans, and I know we're going back a far, you know, many years here, 2,000 years, but since the destruction of that Jewish kingdom that existed here, the land of Israel, including what people call the West Bank, which is a terrible term to use for Judea and Samaria, which are the historical terms for that land, this land has never been independent, not under Muslims, not under Christians, not Hindus, not Buddhists, not atheists, no one. It's always been controlled by foreign empires. And it was only in 1948 that finally the Jews were able to throw off the yoke of foreign oppression, because for all those 2,000 years, there was always Jews here waiting for their brothers and sisters to return home one day when it would be safe. We were always treated as second-class citizens. So really, the Jewish people, and you have all these political movements that are rising up right now, various minority communities, should look to Israel and look to the Jewish people in hope that says, hey, as long as you hold on to truth and who you are, eventually truth will win. And that's what took place here in 1948. That's what's happening right now. You can see just days after the rockets were being fired here on Tel Aviv, sirens were going off. You hear in the media, and you're absolutely right, that the media has been given like a one-sided story about the destruction in Gaza and what took place there. And it's tragic. War is a tragic thing. I fought in the Second Lebanon War in 2006. My unit was there for 28 days. I served in the IDF. War is a terrible thing, and lots of innocent lives are lost, and there's a lot of destruction. But the destruction isn't so one-sided. There was 1,200 buildings. Mr. Peters and all of your viewers, there was 1,200 buildings that were damaged or destroyed from the southern part of Israel, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Sderot. These are a lot of the places where the rockets hit. And here in Tel Aviv, thousands of cars were damaged. Thousands of people were injured. And of course, we had 12 people who were killed, and they weren't all Jewish. We're a vibrant, beautiful, democratic, free society that has minority groups that have the same rights as everybody else here. All the Jews, religious, secular, whether they're Arabs of Christian denomination or if they're Muslims or if they're another community called the Druze, they all have equal rights, just like all the Jews here, just like everybody here is treated equally. And so some of those people who died, of the 12 people, some of them were Arabs, some of them were Christians, some of them were Muslims, most of them were Jewish, because that is the predominant population here in Israel. And that's just something to really hold on to, you know. And I'm sorry, just to go into this subject just very, very quickly here, is that, you know, in the media, I hear this word genocide and ethnic cleansing, especially from the far left of the Democratic Party, right? I believe they call them like the Squad. I think that's like their nickname,
yeah,
right?
That's Alexandria, like, Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib. People, the Ilhan Omar.
There's like four
yes.
or five of them, right?
Yeah.
But really, I think it goes much further than just them. You know, they're called the Squad, but I think that far left movement within the Democratic Party goes much further than just them. And it must have, because they've had such an influence on the Biden administration that it appears to us here in Israel as though they're almost turning their backs on us, as if they, you know, are kind of shifting their allegiance to a terrorist organization known as Hamas that fires rockets indiscriminately at a civilian population that has killed, as I said, people from all walks of life here in Israel. And they use this term that Israel is committing a genocide. They are committing ethnic cleansing. And they claim that this war started because of a neighborhood in Jerusalem known as Sheikh Jarrah, which the Jews here, which we here in Israel call the neighborhood of Shimon HaTzadik, who was a high priest in the Second Temple during the days of Alexander the Great, when the Greeks entered into the land of Israel. He's buried there. So Jews live there all the time, right? And in 1948, the community of Sheikh Jarrah was a third Jewish. It was a third Christian and a third Muslim. Now, the Christians and the Muslims were all Arab. So if you want to say it was a third Jewish and two-thirds Arab, fine. What happened in 1948, not just in Sheikh Jarrah, but in the holy city of Hebron, in the holy city of Bethlehem, in the holy city of Shechem, which the Arabs call Nablus, they completely forced out the Jewish population. In the old city of Jerusalem, by the Western Wall, the Temple Mount, the holiest place in Judaism, Christianity, the tomb of the sepulcher, where Christians believe that Jesus was crucified and resurrected. Jews were thrown out of the old city, out of our capital, of our spiritual capital. It was completely ethnically cleansed. And so these homes, which were cleansed of the Jewish residents, have gone through a long, tedious struggle, a legal battle in the civil courts to redeem that property. Now, there are squatter rights here in Israel, and so you can't just go in and throw people out of homes that they've been living in for a long time. However, those residents need to recognize that the property belonged to these Jewish families and that they need to pay rent, not an exorbitant rent, a rent that is, you know, relative to the other rent, you know, rental properties in the area, but they refuse to. And if they refuse to pay rent to the legal owners of the property, then you can throw them out of that property. These folks that live in those homes, if they'll just recognize that this was Jewish property that was ethnically cleansed in 1948 by the Jordanian government, then they can live there peacefully. But they refuse. They refuse to admit and to recognize very basic historical facts. We're not going back hundreds of years. We're going back, you know, what is it now? 70 some odd years that this was Jewish property. They could say there, but they refuse to admit that this is a Jewish city and that was Jewish owned property. And that's something that the media in North America, particularly in America itself, is refusing to recognize and to report.
That's right. Hamas, and the media is refusing to report a lot of things as way over there in Israel, in the Holy Land, where you're reporting from. By the way, David Sussman joining us from Tel Aviv. You can find him at davidsussmanisraeltours.com. And for the sake of time, we have to go, but I'm going to bring you back. I want to bring you back because the perspective that you're providing here is truthful and it's real, and I can tell that it's genuine. And it's interesting to me that you say this, and I want to leave you and the audience with some food for thought here. The squad, as you call them, and rightfully, that's what they are called here, and I agree with you that it doesn't stop at these few select radicals here in the United States, that there are a lot of radicalized progressive people that have hijacked the Democratic Party here in the United States. Your mom and dad Democrats don't exist here anymore. These aren't the traditional Democrats that we used to talk about. Their party has been hijacked. And these are the very same people that, while they are sympathizing and propping up a terrorist organization that's indiscriminately firing rockets and terrorizing your streets there, they are doing the same thing here with a terrorist organization called Black Lives Matter, who is indiscriminately burning down buildings, torching neighborhood corner stores, setting ablaze occupied police precincts, cementing doors shut while officers try to escape with their lives, and then the media not reporting on any of it. While today, at embassies across the world on United States government property, there has been an order and an initiative to erect and fly the Black Lives Matter flag, and here in the state of Minnesota, specifically in Minneapolis, where I am, the governor of this state, Governor Tim Jong Walz, has ordered a moment of silence in honor of the dead home-invading career criminal thug called George Floyd. So you are not experiencing alone there what the dangerous left is capable of doing. They're doing it here. They're doing it there. They're doing it everywhere, in the words of Dr. Seuss. I want to bring you back, and I thank you so much for being here. Can we have you back again later this week, early next week, as this develops?
Hey, Mr. Peters, reach out to me anytime. I absolutely love the work that you're doing. I love your reporting on Israel, and I very much appreciate it. And if I can help out, I'm here for you.
Wonderful. David Sussman, live from Tel Aviv. Thank you so much, sir. We appreciate it. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Coming up on June 12th in Somerset, Wisconsin, you are not going to want to miss the MAGA Frank rally being put on by Mike Lindell. That's right. Mike Lindell is going to welcome, Diamond and Silk will be there. Dinesh and Danielle D'Souza will be there. Charlie Kirk and Sheriff David Clark. So do not miss that. It's in Somerset, Wisconsin on June 12th. Until tomorrow. Oh, by the way, don't forget about my Proton Mail, stupeters@protonmail.com. If you got something that you want me to draw our attention to, we will gladly give it a national spotlight. But until tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way that you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid that radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do,